by the way. Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you know what happiness is to you.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do.
Here come bad news, talking this and that.
Hey, what's going on out there? How y'all doing on this wonderful Tuesday afternoon? This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and I'm telling you, man, I don't know what's going on with Blog Talk Radio these last couple of days. I do apologize for the way the show ended yesterday, because it was a good show. And, you know, we were really, really having a wonderful time. Now, what happened after that, I do not know. But the only thing I do know is this system is just going crazy. I don't know how we're going to get to where we're going to get, but we're going to get there, God dang it. You know, man, we worked too hard for this. Mm-hmm. That's right. But anyway, welcome to the show, y'all. I hope everybody's having a good time, and we're going to continue to rock and roll. Rock and roll, because that's what we need to do. Okay, yeah, I'm just talking because we're having some issues right now, and it's really not going well. And I don't know, man. I don't know. We're going to try and fix this thing, because this thing is really going crazy. And I don't even see my co-host. You know, that's not good either. I don't even see my co-host. You know, sometimes you just have to just shake your head at what's...
Greetings, everyone. This is Ngoni. Eric, as you know, is having some technical difficulties again. We apologize. Can you hear me? If you can hear me, please give me a sign in the chat room, please, to let me know you can hear me talking to you. All right. Thank you, Sister Ottawa. How's everybody out there today? Want to greet you all to Let's Talk, Mr. Talk Show, and I'm sure he'll get back in just a minute. He says the audio will be back up soon. I don't have the, let me see, I think I can turn the music on, and he wanted to start off talking about some things, but we'll wait till he gets back in and talk about those things. So in the meantime, it looks like he's not yet back in, so I think he would want me to go ahead and start the music. And I hope everybody's having a great day out there. Let's see here. Looking for the music. Please bear with me. All right, here we go. We're going to start with the Tuesday mix and hope you guys enjoy it. Maybe by then Mr. Talk will be back on the line and he can tell us who the music is by, or perhaps you all can tell us who the music is by, since you may recognize some of the songs. So here we go. Enjoy, and hopefully we'll get this thing up and going soon, because we really have some good clips for you today, and we were really planning to have a real good discussion today. All right, enjoy the music. Can you all hear the music? Because my panel is not working. Sister Ottawa, can you hear any music playing? I don't hear anything. Divine Design says, Mr. Talk is in the green room having coffee and donuts. Can you all hear me? Well, I guess nobody can hear me. Wow. My goodness. Okay, now you can hear me, Antoinette? Okay, thank you. But no music. Okay, let me go back and see if I can get that to work for you. All right, here we go. I think we have it now.
Yesterday my life was filled
All right.
with rain. Sunny, you smiled at me and really eased the pain. Now the dark days are done and the bright days are here. My sunny one shines so sincere. Sunny one so true, I love you. Sunny, thank you for the sunshine you gave. Sunny, thank you for the love you brought my way. You gave to me your all in all, and now I feel 10 feet tall. Sunny one so true, I love you. Sunny, thank you for the truth you let me see. Sunny, thank you for the facts from A to Z. My life was torn like windblown sand, then a rock was formed when we held hands.
Sunny,
sunny one so true, I love you. Sunny, thank you for that smile upon your face. Thank you for that gleam that holds the grace. You're my spark of nature's fire. You're my sweet, complete desire. Sunny one so true, yes, I love you.
That's the nice sounds. I would like to thank the music director for that good music. Not sure if the music director gave it to us or if it was Mr. Talk. For those of you just joining the line, Mr. Talk is having difficulties, technical difficulties again today, and this is Ngoni Al standing in for him. We're going to get this show on the road, and we're going to make it happen one way or the other. Mr. Talk had a nice clip ready for us to start the topic off today. We're going to kind of extend what we talked about yesterday and take it into a different direction. I'm going to have to ask for your patience because I'm going to have to look through the audio clips to find it, but one way or the other, we'll play the clip. Hope everybody's having a great day out there. I want to thank all of Mr. Talk's family and guests for coming. And also the new callers, we're just delighted to see new people coming to the show, and hopefully everybody will enjoy it today. Well, I'm going to go ahead and give the quote of the day, and I'll dispense with the drum roll because I can't find it. How about that? All right, here we go. Love without attachment. Don't let the mind set the stage for your life because it will always be a limitation. And that quote is by Muji. Muji is a spiritual teacher, has a lot of great YouTube videos. So if you ever find yourself kind of, you know, struggling to get centered and get back on the path that you have set for yourself, Muji is a good place to go and chill out. Now, as you know, when Mr. Talk is here, he and I usually have a little discussion about the quote of the day. I feel like I'm forgetting something. I don't know what it is. And if anybody out there in the audience knows what it is, please put it in the chat room. But we invite you to call in, and we'd love to hear your thoughts about the quote of the day. And in the meantime, while we don't have anybody with their hand up on the board, we have some callers that are just listening, I'd just like to say that I think this quote is fantastic. Love without attachment. That's a very hard thing for me to do anyway. I don't know about anyone else. I understand the wisdom in it. Now, applying it in your daily life is a challenge, I think. Don't let the mind set the stage for your life, because it will always be a limitation. Because we're not our mind, we're not our bodies, we're spirits having an experience in a third-dimensional reality. And, you know, I like what Muji says about it. It's like all our experiences are like clouds. They're moving. There's no life without movement. So when we look at our experiences and our relationships like clouds, we realize that they move into our life for a reason, sometimes for a season. And then if we remain detached, we allow them to move and move on through as they are supposed to continue so that we can grow. All right. Mr. Talk is still off having technical difficulties, and he wanted to talk a little bit about this phenomenon out in California where there's a polio-like illness that is affecting children. There's an article from CNN. I don't know if anybody out there is familiar with what's going on, but the article states that, of course, they always tell us it's nothing to be alarmed about, right, and that this has happened before in the 1960s, causing paralysis. They say it's localized. It didn't spread far and wide, you know, how I think probably they talked about the children had been vaccinated, but the vaccination didn't prevent the illness, which is called encephalitis. They're having a special investigation section in California. The Department of Public Health said the state is aware of the paralysis cases, but believes the risk to families is very low. Mm-hmm, yeah, right. But anyway, that's enough of that. It's kind of sad, and I don't know if anybody wants to talk about that. Open mic. Oh, thank you. The music director has announced that the music was Donna Summers, With Your Love, and Heat Wave, Groove Lines. Thank you, music director, for that information. I hope everybody enjoyed it. All right. Well, if you guys don't want to hear me talking, you better call in. I'm gonna search around for this clip Mr. Talk wanted to share with us today. I see we got a lot of new people coming in the chat room. I'd like to welcome Antoinette, Deep H2O, Divine Design from Holland, Guest 1601, 1631, 1662, 64, Impact Arms, which I think is a new person joining us, John Christopher Sutton, also I believe is new, Living the Devilicious Life, welcome, Open Mic, and Truth Will Out. Okay, I'm going to need just a moment to search through the audio clips. This is the first time I've ever done this. I hope I don't disconnect myself. I'm going to try to get us a clip. And I'd like to welcome all the people on the lines to call in and join the conversation today. You can reach us two ways. One, by calling in at, I don't even have the number in front of me. Antoinette, will you help me out with that number in the chat room, because the board has gone all the way up and I don't even see, Mr. Chat usually puts it in the board, but I can't see it and it's not on my panel. Should have it memorized by now. Hold on just a second, guys. Here we go. You can also join the conversation by going to blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk, and that'll take you to his page, and you can listen to us on the internet. The call-in number is 347-838-8622. All right, thank you for your patience.
Yes, we do thank you for your patience. I'm telling you, Blog Talk Radio is just all jacked up today. I'm telling you, I've been fighting for the last 30 minutes to try and get in here. Woo!
Mr. Talk.
Man. Yes.
Mr. Talk, do you remember yesterday that was someone in the chat? I think the lady from Holland, Divine Design, that said she was in love with your voice. Well, honey, I just fell in love with your voice, too.
To say what?
I mean, I'm glad you're back on the line. That's what I'm trying to say to you.
Oh, am I? Yes, I'm back on the line.
I'm telling you, welcome. Great, you're back. Yay! That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm back. I don't know what happened, man. I tell you, sometimes this blog talk is just weird. You know?
Well,
but
we'll
I'm back.
Through.
I'm back, everybody. Yeah. Huh?
We're going to get through it one way or the other.
Yeah. You know, without a doubt. So have we gone through the song of the day, huh?
While you were gone, I did the song of the day and thanked the music director. I touched a little bit on the polio article you wanted to talk about. I talked a little bit about the quote of the day from my perspective, and that's where we are. I told the audience that you had a wonderful clip ready for them sometime during the conversation, and so I'll turn it over to you now.
All right. You know, I can't hear too much. It's like it's coming in and going in and out.
Okay.
But anyway, we're going to stay here. Yeah. I don't know what the heck going on. But anyway, we're going to continue on with the show. So tell me about the quote.
Oh, the quote says, love without attachment. Don't let the mind set the stage for your life, because it will always be a limitation. Can you see the chat room, Mr. Talk?
No, I sure can't.
Okay. Well, I already gave them my rendition.
Not yet.
I already gave them what I thought about it. You want me to read it again so you can tell us what you think about it?
Yeah. No, we'll have to go like it is, because, like I say, I barely can hear. So we're going to have to go like it is for right now.
All right, then. So would you like for me to try to...
Crazy.
Mr. Talk, would you like for me to try and find the clip and play that at this time, or play some more music? Or
yes,
what?
Go ahead.
Try to find the clip.
Go ahead and play the clip.
Well, I have to find
the clip.
It.
It's already loaded.
Well, I've never pulled one up, so all I have to do is just push the button or what?
That's it. Just push the button.
All right. Well, here we go. This is a clip entitled Love Without Attachment by Muji. Goodness. That's the wrong. Okay. Mr. Talk, I don't see how you push the button for the clip. Do you have it labeled?
Okay, hold on. Let me get there. I got
all
you.
All right.
I got you. Okay, here it is right here.
All right, thank you, Mr. Talk.
Okay, come. You all right? Okay, very good. Oh, you are very welcome.
Got very brief question, and it's my first time.
Yes, yes.
And very grateful for your presence today. I just like to know your opinion about how is it possible to love without getting attached, without attachment.
How is it possible to love without attachment?
Yeah. Seeing, I think,
not
my
easy.
Problem all life. And being my, 90% of suffering all my life has been.
If the love is mostly coming personally, and if it's only romantic love, if it's mostly been this, then sometimes a lot of trouble come. But the love that is springing out of your being, not out of your becoming and wanting and so on, but the love that is released through your freedom, through your knowing yourself, this one is all-inclusive somehow. It also has the fragrance of a private love and the love you have that has different expressions in it, but you're not bound to any particular expression, you see. And all of them can be satisfied in their own way. But if you're living and the height of your aspiration is only for a partner in a romantic setting, then it's very limited. And the life will bite, and it should bite, because this biting is an opportunity for your greater freedom. You see? Don't let the mind set the stage for your life, because it will always be a limitation. So sometimes while you're on your own, if you are so lucky sometimes, then you can use this opportunity really to deepen your understanding and to come home fully to yourself. So that if you come into relationship, and especially the ones which are, because of course a relationship with a partner is also very important tool of consciousness, because sometimes this type of relationship is very, very good at exposing some aspects of yourself which other relationships can't do, because it really digs deep into where you are possessive or insecure or depending on something, which other relationships may not be able to really expose that. You see? So sometimes it's... and everyone... you don't have to wait to be perfect to have a relationship. Relationship is there. But also to give some space to discover your full being, who you really are. Because in moving into a relationship with that kind of roundness, that type of wholeness in yourself, you see, then... if one is needed, then, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if relationships have happened out of need. The universe is just a gift sometime or so, that you can meet someone and together you bring strength and clarity and insight into each other also can be like this. But if you're living just for that, then it will be trouble. When you realize who you are, attachments won't interfere with your relating with other beings. There will be a great freedom. And then the love is really then free to really express itself without expectations, which are such a pain. And that narrowness. Because when you carry that sort of, if you're loving someone out of desperateness, you know, it's such a horrible state for both of you. So when you can come from your freedom, isn't it? And you know that if someone leaves you, you're not going to die. Isn't it? Then you really are, can enjoy. You will not compromise your truth for anyone.
Well, I hope everyone was able to hear. A lot of people in the chat room said they could. Some said they were having difficulties. Open mic, ask the question, does anyone understand what we are listening to? The title of the clip is Love Without Attachment, and the author is a man named Mooji, M-O-O-J-I. He has a YouTube channel under the same name and has some very interesting philosophy. You might enjoy it. Again, Mr. Talk is not on the show with us at this time. For anyone joining in, this is Ngoni speaking, and I'd like to encourage anyone to call in and so we can have the discussion about the clip to see what people think about it, or you can put your comments in the chat room and we can kind of talk about it from that perspective. Basically, I think Mooji is teaching that we are love and we are truth and we are freedom already. And when we understand that, we can love without attachment. And he talks about how experiences and our relationships, you can look at them like clouds. Clouds always move. And if we don't try to hold on to them and we let them move freely, then we don't experience attachment, which creates pain and suffering. So anybody have any comments in the chat room about what you thought about the clip? Well, I don't see anybody writing anything, so I don't know what else to say about it, so I guess we'll just move on to talk about what's going on in the world, and then maybe when some people call in, we can expand the conversation about the clip. Let's see. Mr. Talk is getting ready in the green room, just getting his makeup on and hair done, so he looks great for this show. That's funny, Divine Design. Thank you very much for that comment. Well, I guess I'll check out, we talked a little bit about this yesterday. It really isn't the topic. We want to kind of expand the conversation we had yesterday. But because of the technical difficulties, I'm going to look at the news and see what's going on the Drudge Report. I know we talked a little bit about what's going on in Russia with Ukraine yesterday, and I think that's going to have big implications in the near future as far as what we can expect to see here in the United States with the banking situation. I think they're connected. Sometimes we see things, how do you say, separate, like separate events, but really we always should connect the dot. Yeah, Allura Avernus has a question mark about the Drudge Report. That's a news service from alternative news perspective. I don't look at the mainstream news too much because they usually, in my view, have a spin on the news. I find when you go to alternative sources, you get a little bit more of the truth of what's going on in the world. And so I see here that they had a big storm in Europe and a big flood in Europe. It seems like all over the world there are unusual weather events, sinkholes, so forth and so on, and some people say that's because of the sun, which is extremely quiet right now, and other people say that mankind is also intervening with HAARP. So I don't know if you people out there, I'm sure most of you have heard of HAARP, but Russia has HAARP, and so does China, and so does the United States, and I think India also has it. Thank you, Antoinette, for putting the Drudge Report in the chat room. All right. Well, people, unless you all want to hear me chatter for another 20 minutes or so, I'd like to encourage you to call in, put your hand up so we can have a conversation. Kind of hard to have a conversation by yourself. No, absolutely, Lynn House Gallery. HAARP is not like California. It's located in Alaska. You say it must not like California because of the drought, I'm sure. That's what you're talking about. I saw a map showing an extremely large piece of land that's affected by drought in California as well as one other state right now. And I think this is a historical event because back in during World War II or in the area when we had the Great Depression, we had the Dust Bowl in, I believe that is Nebraska. I think that's the right state. And California was also affected back in the 30s with drought. And so I think this is a cyclical experience that we're having as far as how the earth is affected. Yes. Yes, indeed. All righty. Okay. I'm going to bring in Sister Ottawa. Thank goodness. Sister Antoinette.
How you doing, girl?
Oh.
Hello, Sister Ottawa. Hello, Sister Agonia.
Hey,
welcome.
Antoinette. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you, and yourself?
Good.
How are you today?
I'm
also going to invite Mr. International to join
line. Oh, good.
Oh, I'm Mr. International.
You have male energy.
I'm Mr. International.
Wonderful, wonderful. Hope everyone's doing wonderful.
Yes, and you too.
Were you all able to hear the clip?
Yes,
heard
I was.
Yes, I was.
Do you have any thoughts about it?
Well, when I listen to the clip, it basically reminds me of when I read what they call to be the hieroglyphics of the Dogon tribe, and it talks about the energy that is implanted in the physical body. And so throughout, as it spreads out throughout the nation, it talks about what it is, and it deitizes men and women and things of that nature right there because they were so close with that energy. And so those were the ones that really knew the secrets, the high priest, et cetera, or the kings, queens, pharaohs. And so they were privy to that information, so they were deitized. But we all have that within us. It's just a matter of really backtracking and getting those 360 senses back because we've been deleted almost down to 5. And so that's the reason why it's so hard for men and women to actually go ahead and know what the clip was really truly about. It was really about this young lady that was basically using a diluted sense. And when it's diluted like that with all the mind's understanding and understandings of what it is that love is, she took on that persona. And after taking on that persona, she wasn't able to operate that sense correctly because she was getting her information from outside sources instead of knowing self. And so he broke it down pretty good when he told her that there are other areas that are with inside of your chakra levels that you can pull this energy and you can utilize it at the proper time for whatever situation you're dealing with to help you know for a fact that you're dealing with something physical or you're dealing with something that's basically energy. And so when you're dealing with something physical, you don't take something out of the other toolbox for your power and you utilize that on the physical. Because one thing you can't do is, one thing I've noticed that you can't do is, you can in the physical body regenerate life over and over again. You're given what's considered to be a life at the beginning. And then you begin a process of death of the flesh. But the energy is where we should stand, and that power of that energy is what we should strive to get back towards. And most men and women haven't done that. And so they lose what's called senses. And the Dojans, they basically talk about 360 senses that we actually start out with, and that's what the energy encompasses. And it tells you all the senses, what they can be used for. Some of the scientists, such as Sigmund Freud and Einstein, the theory of relativity, the string theory, and all this kind of stuff right here, this was noted on the Dojan by the Dojans hundreds, if not hundreds of thousands of years ago. Because when I read the glyphs, what they call the glyphs, the story is very consistent from the newest information from the high priest of the village that have that information to when you carbon date it and you go back tens of thousands and 20s of thousands of years. When you tend to read it, the story remains the same. The only thing that changes is that in the beginning, the woman was responsible for this energy and controlling and how to use your senses because she was the giver of these senses. And so one thing that the men did, as we or most men tend to do, is they kind of overthrow the woman, and through the generations, they lose that they were the original inhabitants of all that energy, that power, and the givers of life. That's the reason why, I mean, most of the religions, they know about it, because if you go and look at a church, when you walk through the front doors, where are you going to see? You're not realizing it, but you're really walking into what's called the womb of the woman, where you can be reborn. Everything happens when you enter the church. The doors look like a woman's womb. That's why they're arched. And so they give you these little notes about what's going on, but the original is at the source, which is the Dojan tribe. And I just kind of wanted to share that.
Oh, that's very, very interesting. And Mr. International, I want to ask you if you're familiar with I'm sure you are, the process of initiation that used to occur in the Great Pyramids of Giza. And now it's being said that we no longer have to go through that process, that the pyramids were built specifically to create a certain consciousness level or a certain frequency, and that's the reason why they went through initiation in the pyramids, but that where we are now in the universe and our evolution in consciousness, that now we are experiencing initiation in our relationships.
Well, and that's the other side of it. And when you're dealing with the flesh, you're moving away from the source of power. And
I'm
so
not talking about flesh. I'm not talking about the flesh.
Right. I know what you
When I say in our relationships, I'm not talking about the flesh. I mean, we're spiritual beings in a physical body. We're not our body and we're not our mind. So when we interact with others, we're two spirits interacting with each other. So I'm not coming from the flesh.
Oh, exactly. But the problem is in the initiation process. The initiation, if it's done in its purest form, there's nothing ill that can come out of that. But when you're talking about the fleshly union, without the proper power inside that being, that's where the conflict comes in. And so they do this, repeat these initiations over and over again, and then before you know it, you have another group of individuals that don't like the way that they initiate, so they branch off and they initiate, and so all the information gets deleted. And any time that you put it this way, if you have a child, and the only thing that you teach your child is one thing and one thing only, that child is going to go out through society and be considered what's called a misfit. But the thing is that if you ask that child that one thing about that specific initiation that the mother and father indoctrinated them into, that's they're going to be a genius in that. So they're going to fail at everything else of what's considered failure. And that's what men and women are doing. They're branching off from what's the original, and they're initiating themselves into all these different sections, and they don't know what sections, what's the real true representation of that section. So in that sense, those initiations and things of that nature, they're done totally wrong.
Well, Mr. International, I was speaking on a more general level about initiation as far as our spiritual growth and advancement, not a specific initiation, you know, ritual or anything like that. I meant it in a broad general sense that we are experienced on the earth at this time as spirits having an experience in the dimension that we're in, and I was comparing that to at the time when the pyramids of Giza were used for initiation, they say now that the whole earth is experiencing initiation through our relationship. So you were very specific, and I thank you for your detailed information. But I just wanted to say that, and I don't want to hog the conversation. I would like sisters to talk, and I'm going to be quiet now and let you guys talk.
I kind of wanted to add on what it was that you said. I don't mean to interrupt, but
go right ahead.
We need to really truly understand and understand exactly what the pyramids are then, because the pyramids are not what it is that they have told us that they are. The pyramids themselves, you have the ones with the smooth sides on it. You have the ones that are sort of rounded off, and they basically stated that the ones that are rounded off were because they ran out of material or because of this, and they say that the Giza Plateau, it encompasses the pyramids of the pharaohs and things of this nature right here, but they're not. The thing about it is when you're dealing with power, you're dealing with energy, a lot of times when you're talking about that, you're going to build instruments or machinery that's going to be able to you're going to be able to harness that power. So throughout, it's not just in the Giza Plateau. I mean, there's pyramids throughout not only Africa but Asia, et cetera. And it's the same principle that there's power sources, and you can basically go there today with the Geiger counter and other instruments, and you can read the energy level that it's outputting even to this day. Similar to what's called a nuclear reactor. That's the reason why what happened over in Russia, you can't still to this day go over there because of the nuclear blast, but you can still sense the power there. That's what majority of these pyramids were. And because majority of these men and women, they worshiped the water, they worshiped the sun, they worshiped the fire. So you have pyramids that were written on to describe the powers and how they acknowledge this and honor that, but it's simply nothing more than that. And then they get into the storytelling, certain derivatives that have come from different religions and things of that nature. But for the most part, it wasn't a matter of the whole energy that was connected throughout the world and on what's called a grid. If men and women go to grids, or go to Google Earth or whatever, and you look at the grids, there's electricity, I want to use that word, running in straight lines all throughout the world. And you'll see that each pyramid that is different from other pyramids are going to be right there where the two sections, north, south, east, and west, intersect. So that's the highest concentration of the power in every single, like on the Giza Plateau, the largest pyramid is lays right on that line. So when you do your homework and you see the reason why they did and created these right here, it's very simple. The problem is when we try to use our outside knowledge and we try to say that based upon his study, her study, or the way that we think that, but all we have to do is spend time in meditation, and they haven't hid anything. They haven't hid anything from us, but we have to get out of that physical initiation, and that's the most dangerous thing is the way that they've initiated most men and women, their fleshly being, into the world where they don't even know what the difference between a spirit energy and also what the physical is supposed to do. So there's a lot of confusion, but it's just really reading like it was. Go back to when you were a child and you first learned to read a book, when you first could think about what it is to sound out the word A. They gave you that information. Now you have to go back when no one told you anything and look at it for what it is, and it'll speak to you. And you train yourself on that right there. And you check your sources, because majority of what they're dealing with is dealing with the celestial or the universe, and is documenting the universe. You know, they always say that the Dojans were able to track planets that we were not able to track with a telescope. And so there's no initiation, so they come up with these different programs to try to figure out how they did it, and you have to be initiated into this. And but the thing about it is that when you're talking about a people that are older than time itself, that have the ability to be matter and bend time, that's what that whole string theory that they were trying to teach us is, so that we could know our true form and true nature. And that's the reason why most men and women, when they're the scientists and et cetera, they can't figure out how the Dojans did what they did when they mapped the stars, et cetera, because it took us until roughly 1960 to 1980 to actually map these stars. But the thing is when you're older than time can record, that means that the sun was not always the same size that it is now. Why? Because the sun did not have to produce as much heat as it was necessary. But as things grow, et cetera, and that energy in the sun is growing and it's growing, but you can document the planets because the sun is much smaller. They do it by based upon the geographical dimensions that they have now, but they don't do it based upon the time. And that's the real thing they don't want men and women to know, is that in order for them to map these stars, the sun would have had to be at this size right at that point in time, meaning that this dates these people to this age. And that's what they don't want men and women to know.
Very interesting.
It is. It is. You just said so much. I know when I went to, took my trip to Africa, and in the night, being in the night with no lights and just being natural in the star, everything was so close to the earth. It looked like the stars were close to the ground, that I could actually just reach out and touch a star, you know. I never questioned the Dogon and what they said, you know. It's interesting in terms of the tape that we listened to, Brother Muji, and I think that one of the things that our young people in particular, that we haven't given them a sense that they are mind, and that there's information that they can tap into at whim, but we've been taught to be afraid to go inside of ourselves. You know, the Christian religion has taught us that this supreme thing was outside of us, and we don't pay attention to information that we get in our dreams, or just a thought might come to us. We don't pay attention to those things, but that is our divine entity, this thing within us that talks to us. And if we could get in touch with that, and I know that what we're talking about is energy. When we love, we're sharing energy. It's not about just, you know, this two pieces of matter coming together, but there's energy that's going to keep that matter coming back together if we tap into it. Then we can be healers to one another, and that is what we really need, is the healing. And I don't know if I'm making any sense. It's just sometimes it's hard for me to describe things with this language. I'm, you know, not multilingual.
I think you're doing a wonderful job, and it kind of reminds me of also in what they consider to be Egypt or Africa, named after its conqueror, Africatus, something, some weird name that when they conquered Africa. But it kind of reminds me of also the doctors or the high priests and other men and women that were qualified to actually, they had to operate certain pyramids. Certain pyramids operate off of vibrations or tones, And so the whole acoustical internals of it is designed to, you have on the, on the, these are the ones that you, most men and women can, are not allowed to go to. They're allowed to go to the Giza Plateau, but for some reason, because unless you know about these other pyramids, they're not going to tell you about them, but they're not off limits. And there are certain pyramids in areas of Egypt, pyramids that have never been dug up, that to this very day have never been explored. They're only focused on the Giza Plateau. But there are certain pyramids there, and as the pyramids get older than the Giza Plateau pyramids, when you go into them, you can, if you, there's three steps at the one, this one in particular, and if you're having, let's say you're having a headache, and you can go through to the steps to the left. If you say you have digestive issues, you can go to the one, or say you have something that you have picked up or whatever that's going, it's trying to kill you, some type of disease, et cetera. You go into that one that's built for that specific acoustical vibration to heal your body, and the priest would give out certain tones, and you would give out certain tones, and when those tones would meet with one another, the energy throughout the building would come back from the source in which it was put out, but it comes back in a pure form, and then you could walk away from there, and you no longer have that. But that's being closer to that source of energy and knowing that it's just that simple. But nowadays, you know, through their investments and things of that nature right there into the drugs, et cetera, they're never going to tell you about that, just like they won't tell you about B17 vitamin. B17 vitamin has the highest concentration. It's a cure-all to all cancers. But the reason why they're not going to tell men and women about it is because they can't call it a drug. That's the reason why marijuana, the cases of for marijuana have been getting lost in the court system and tying them up and causing them a lot of money and also bankruptcy in a lot of these places, is because they're fighting a losing cause, because you can't label something that's natural a drug. You can't do it. And so that's what they want us to get into. They want us to get into the drugs. They want us to get into the chemicals. They want us to get into everything and anything that goes against power, natural power. They want us to get into combustible engines, which really does more damage to anything in the atmosphere. And that's, or even when they talk about these clean vehicles. I mean, they admit carbon emissions, but it's just a different type of carbon emission, which does even more damage to the ozone layer. So the thing is, to get back to actually what the powers that we, that the pyramids were built for, utilizing that information, utilizing those tones correctly, and we can do that right there at home. What I do is I'll get up and I'll get on the organ and I'll play certain tones, and I'll see which tone vibrates and does something to my power, and if it causes it to vibrate a certain way, I'll continue to play that one. And then before you know it, I'm playing another one and another one. Then I'm playing all of them in unison to go ahead and be on a higher vibrational level. And so some of us do it with singing. When we're walking around the house, we get on a higher vibrational level. So we sing and we hit certain notes. And a lot of people say we can't sing, but the thing is, it sounds good and it makes us feel good, so we do it. And that's what it's about, is getting back to knowing what that power really truly is and why they...
All right, can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Mr. Talk, how you doing, sir?
Okay. Yes, this is Mr. Talk. Can y'all understand me and hear me good?
Very good, yes.
Huh?
Can you hear me?
Can't hear.
Can you see the chat room?
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at the chat room right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see the chat room.
Okay.
All right. So, I'm sure I missed a lot, but it's okay, cause we need to get to the topic for real. And the topic is, are you listening, and what did you hear? And basically, what we're talking about is the communication relationship between men and women, in a relationship, whether it's marriage, dating, or whatever. And this is what I'm talking about. Okay, like a woman would say, "Honey, what she say? Honey, the rest of the grocery is in the car." Okay, now what the man hears is, "Okay, it's in the car. I won't close the door." Or vice versa somewhere. In other words, we're not really listening, which is one of the great, great things about it. We're not listening. And I think that's where the trouble begins when it comes to our communication. You know?
Well, Mr.
Yes.
Mr. Talk, is it that we're not listening? Is it that we're not listening, or is it that we hear something different than the intended message because we're different?
Well, I wouldn't say well, you know, men and women are different, so their language or communication skills are different. You know, there's no doubting that at all. You know, and maybe, just maybe now, I'm hearing you intermittently, but, you know, maybe, just maybe, we just are brought up to understand certain things in certain ways. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
the
yeah.
men.
Go ahead. Well, I was getting ready to agree with you that, yeah, because male children or, you know, men, boys, are conditioned one way to see the world and perceive things one way. And, you know, girls or women are brought up to perceive the world a different way. Like, for instance, I'll give an example. If a woman starts talking about something that's bothering her, most men will immediately go into problem solving, when a lot of times women just want to be heard. They just want to be heard.
Yeah. I mean, that's very true. That is
so
very true. But it's
so
from birth, though, that's what a man is taught, you know. He's the problem solver.
Well, I'm not saying it's wrong.
If you're a woman, then what you would have to do is, you know, say, babe, you look, I don't want you to do anything. I just want you to listen right now. Now the only problem is, will a guy sit there and really listen, or will he blow you off since you'd have told him that you really don't want him to help? Now then you're looking at his ego. Did you bruise his ego? And the same thing goes for women, you know? I mean, that's the way I'm looking at it right now.
Right. Well, you're looking at it from the perspective of a problem, like a man does, and you ask the question, will the man blow you off or just go ahead and try to solve the problem? Well, it depends on, you know, the person, and, of course, you know, how the woman expresses her desire to just be heard to the man. And everybody's different. You know, so.
Okay.
Think about that.
Everybody's, huh?
I just said, what do you think about that? What do women think about that? I think Sister Ottawa and Antoinette are still on the line.
Well, I really can't hear you per se. I'm going to try to maintain. You know, but at some point as adults, don't you think we should be able to bridge that communication gap to where, you know, we actually listen to each other?
If we if we could remove the ego out of the way, then we could listen to one another. Because most times when you're talking, you're thinking, the person that you're talking to or whoever you're talking to, they're thinking about what they're getting ready to say.
Mm.
They're not taking in what you're saying. So that's a breakdown in the communication because you haven't heard what was said. And you can't do that unless you're present, unless you're there. When I say present, I mean without thoughts going on, where you're listening, smelling, seeing, touching, or whatever to get information. You're present. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely, and I think that takes us back to the clip. That's what Muji was teaching, love without attachment, because when you do that, then you are aware and remembering your essence. You know, so I think you're on point, Sister Ottawa.
Okay.
You know, the clip was saying to be in a place from your essence as opposed to your ego, a place of non-attachment. So if you're non-attached, then you're not, like you say, engaging your ego, thinking about what you're going to say or your rebuttal or, you know, a contest or whatever, and you're there, like you said, you're able to be present for the person that is in your presence speaking.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I agree with you.
So that is with our relationships, as Muji talked about, that you enjoy the time that you're with that person right then, not thinking about, well, when is he going to call me again? What can I do to, you know, keep him over longer or whatever you're going through, but enjoying that moment and giving of yourself in that time and space right then, and everything is good. And you don't think about when you're going to hear from them again, because you know that you threw down. So you don't have to worry about, you know, if he's going to call me back because I pleased them, you know, or she pleased me. I will be back. He will be back. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
In other words, let me give you feedback what you were saying to make sure I understand what you're saying. What I hear you saying is that the whole key is to be present in the present moment and to experience moment to moment when you're with others. And a lot of times we're off in a place in our mind, like you said, and the ego is worried about what's going to happen next. And that's part of being attached as opposed to being detached.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are we still here?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm listening myself, because that's real deep right there. That's very deep, and it's deep. I mean, when you're talking about being attached, you know, and it goes back to also something, and before I get to the attachment part, it goes back to also what the young man was speaking in the clip when he talked about basically knowing for a fact what energy you're going to pull from. And so you can be attached with that situation, that source, et cetera, and enjoying that moment, but if you brought the wrong energy to it, then what it is you can get a gauge of how many senses you have, because it takes a sense, one of your senses, to actually get to that point, but you have to figure out what sense did you use to get there. I mean, and also, you know, when you're talking about relationship, a lot of men and women, what they'll do is they'll get the starry eyes, or they get the conversation, they speak things into life, but they don't spend time in meditation. In church, in most Bibles, in most religions, they call it the spirit of discernment, where you can actually go in and out of a person's power to find out what's going on with them, and then they start turning that into what's called psychic ability. But men and women still have that energy to do that. Even before a man has to ask his wife, honey, what time are you going to be home, and you're going grocery shopping? Okay, so just give me a call. I'll come outside and open the door and get the groceries out the car. Instead of going through all of that conversation, why not just meditate? If this is your spouse, you should be more connected with your spouse than anyone, and you should be able to share that energy so that you're never detached. And that way, when you go ahead and operate in this physical form right here with the proper energy, then there are no things as arguments. There are no things as mistakes, you know. I would implore men and women to go ahead and read what's called the 42 Laws of Maat. That's what they consider to be on hieroglyphics. But when you go back further and further and get the true meaning of it, it really is all about you utilizing your energies correctly, and it's a checklist that you make. It's a mental...
National, thank you for that, again, very interesting point of view. And I don't want you to think that I'm rejecting it, because I know that you're coming from the teachings of our ancient ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the clip and Muji is coming from a different place, and maybe somebody else will disagree. I think what Muji is teaching is that we are the correct energy. We are love. We are truth. We are freedom. Our essence is that. So from what Muji's teaching, it's not a matter of trying to find the right energies and so forth and so on. It's about being and staying in our remembrance of what we really are and who we really are. and knowing that we're going to have thoughts and that we're not our thoughts, we're not our body, and to approach our experiences and our interactions with others as clouds moving along in the sky, and to be detached, not to be unloving or uncaring, but to be detached and allow life to flow, because we are the black ground. We are the space that allows those experiences and those relationships to occur. But we reduce ourselves, or our ego wants us to identify with our body, which is what causes our desire to be attached to others. But we remember that we are the space that allows life to happen. And like he used the example of clouds moving along in the sky, our bodies are moving along also because we know we're not going to have them forever. So it's the same way with relationships that come and go in our lives. And, you know, we have experiences that are designed to show us things that we may not be aware of. And we can learn something from those experiences depending on how our approach is to interrelating with other people. But it's when we get into wanting to possess or wanting to classify, label, put a license on it, have some assurity that, oh, this person's going to be here forever and ever until I die, well, that's where the problem comes in. That's not allowing everyone to live freely. Now, you know, that may be rejected, but that's just how I understand what Muji's teaching.
Right. That's part of it. But at the beginning of it, when he was first talking about, as far as when he broke down what is love, and when he broke down not only the love part of it, but it's the interpretation and where that energy, which is separate in itself, comes from in your energy. And so it's more or less, I agree with you 100%. And it's more or less, he was telling her basically is that you approached it with the wrong energy, as you were saying. And we have to learn what energy to use and know that even if we don't choose to make that choice to use that particular energy, that we still have the ability when we're in our quiet time to actually use our energy to even explore more. And to be honest with you, you make both best of your best decisions when you're alone, if you ever, like he stated, if you're ever lucky to be alone, because then comes meditation, and that's where you're going to receive the truth. The question is, most men and women don't want to deal with the truth, so then they go forward based upon the physical.
But didn't he also say in the clip that if what the lady was talking about that he was interviewing was the kind of experience that he called romantic love, he said, you know, let the trouble come, because often we learn things about ourselves in those experiences that other kinds of relationships cannot reveal. It cannot, you know, mirror or to ferret out those things that are maybe even from other lifetimes that we're not even aware of. But
right.
What I understand him to be saying is that we are love. We are truth. We are freedom. We don't have to go find it, because that's what we are.
Exactly. And I think that's a key point, that we are all of that. But and the thing is that, you know, the best way to put it is we are ingredients, so to speak. We have ingredients all inside of us that make up this cooked persona, which is called the human body. But it's not just one thing that you see. It's more inside of what it is. And so that's what it is. Hello?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead and finish your thought.
And so I agree with you, and that's what it is. It's basically knowing that you encompass all of that, but it's a matter of getting out which is not supposed to be there, or something that has been put in the place of something, and we've been in practice in using that negative tool in a certain situation, and we're trying to figure out, hey, why am I keep bumping my heads and going through this right here? There are no good ones out here, so I'm just going to be by myself, you know. So that's what that comes from.
Well, Mr. International, I think this is. From my perspective, for whatever that's worth, okay, if this ego, and if the ego, we are conditioned to identify ourself with the body, which is form, and we are not form, we are spirits having an experience in a body.
Right.
So what I understand Muji to be teaching is that when we are at a point of awareness, when we can be consciously remembering that we are the space from which all these interactions and experiences and relationships occur, then it's not like we have to go out there and do something. It's more that we need to observe and not attached to the experiences and relationships that we do encounter. I don't know if I said that right or not, but that's my understanding. Maybe I'm, you know,
I know what you mean, and in that aspect of it, just like different religions, you can use different religions to mean certain things, and that's the reason why there's that separation between all the different religious factions and whatnot. And it sounds more or less like he practiced what's called Hindu or Hinduism, and when you talk about something that in a natural, more natural form, and an ego is a Sigmund Freud theory. It's not an actual energy. It's just a word that was put out there that most men and women kind of gravitated towards because it fit a description. But the only reason why it fit that description was because it was to go ahead and it was to throw off the true meaning of what was to come next. That's why they started operating on the string theory, and they got that incorrect. But getting back to what it is that he basically is trying to say is that based upon what she was going through, we have to get pulled off the ego and things of this nature right here so that we can go ahead and use our energy, which we are, love, et cetera, et cetera. We have to peel off the ego, but the ego never existed. Just because
Mr. International, are you familiar with Rudolf Steiner?
Rudolf Steiner, I've heard that name mentioned.
He's from the 1800s. He's no longer with us, but he has a series of lectures on YouTube, and one of them is called the Gospels of St. John and the Gospels of Matthew, something like that. But anyway, I'm not real versed in it, but years ago, I read some of his books, and it's been so many years ago, I was so elated to find that his lectures were online. Because he was Christian esoteric teachings, not exoteric. And he taught that we have four bodies, not one. We have an ego body, we have an astral body, we have a physical body, and we have an auric body, or it might have been mental. I don't know which one I'm getting that right. But according to him, the ego is, and this is kind of, I'm going to do my best to you know, reflect what he said, that as we have gone through our spiritual evolution and our incarnations on this earth, that there was a time when we did not have the dense body that we have now. Mm-hmm. And so that as we journeyed through this spiritual journey, that the ego was necessary in order for us to have certain experiences, that it's a part of our evolutionary process. Now, I think that I agree with you. We've come to a point, now you said you don't think it exists, but according to him, we have come to a point where it's time for us to drop that and to recognize our essence, and to not identify with our body and our ego in the way that we have been. And I guess I'll stop there, because I don't know if that makes any sense to you or not, what I'm trying to express.
It makes total sense. It makes total sense. And the Dojan tribes, one of the things that they described was that the energy in which they came from, and the reason why they basically had the high priest, et cetera, was because the energy source, or what they consider to be called the mother source, that's what the word mother came from eventually, the mother source did not want to take on did not want to transform into this body or go through the transformation process. That's the same thing that's in the hieroglyphics. When you read that, you'll see a transformation as they go through different cycles. But that's basically exactly what it was that we were able to master, where we could actually go ahead and take on different, and it might sound somewhat bizarre to a lot of men and women, but we were able to take on whatever form that we needed to take on. And we were not limited by what's called a human body. So if you're able to transform into whatever it is, because the power is utilizing everything. But when you start picking up certain things, that's one thing that the mother goddess said that she did not want to do, was get on the ground and to dictate what men and women did, because then it would limit their choices. And it becomes, and when I research, a majority of when it falls into the hands of man, they conquer, they kill, they steal, they rob, they destroy. But when you research the queens and pharaohs that were females of Africa, those were the ones that knew for a fact how to do this. And there was never a war. There was never any poverty. There was never anything negative that was happening at this time that was documented. And so it's really a matter of getting back to its purest form and then appreciating what the purest form. And as men, like when you see a lion and lioness, the lioness are the ones that are most integral to the tribe or to the group that they have. And the king, he just sits back and he makes sure that the borders are protected. Most men and women are not protecting their borders. They're like a city with no walls. The walls have fallen down and everything and anything comes in. He's no longer protecting the lioness, so the lioness no longer knows who the king is because there's no borders up. And so that's what we've gotten from. And that's why what he calls the ego has to come and play a part because of that, because the man has dropped the ball in that sense.
And, you know, that's interesting because I've been sitting here thinking about love and self, loving self. Not self in the singular, but yes, but also self in the plural. So this love that we have, if we can really love ourselves in every way, then it's going to be a thing that's going to just come out of you to others. I don't know, when we talk about love, it's always like going out to someone or a group of, you know, whoever. But it's a thing that we have to embody for ourselves as an individual that will allow you to extend it genuinely, not superficially, but genuinely extend it outwards. Like you said, brother, about meditation and how you can go within yourself and feel that expansion.
That's a good point. I definitely see where you're coming from with that.
All right.
Because when we are searching externally, then we've forgotten that we are the space from which everything, you know, our essence is what allows us to have the experiences. I think I'm understanding what you're saying. Is that correct?
I think yes. If we experience that expect, and we're connected to every living thing you can. It's just so. I mean, anybody jump in and help me. But it is an expansion. It does connect you. And, you know, I know for myself, I used to be afraid of just closing my eyes and sitting still and being quiet. There was a fear. I saw ugly things in that space, in that darkness. I saw monsters and everything I was afraid of, all the things that I had fear of would surface. The things that I heard in church, you know, I had fear. I just had a bunch of fear. And that is something that has been our experience as a race group. We have just, everything we've learned has been because of terror, of being in fear. So we really have to work through it. You know, we make a lot of jokes about, you know, people's talking on this level, this unseen level, in a sense. But it's something that we all experience, and we fight it.
Well, I like the way you put that. Now, I don't know if I'm fighting it, but I can tell you, I know one thing. It's a challenge to incorporate into daily life and experiences. But I guess that's the life is a process. It's not an event.
No.
You know, made up of many events. So I guess that's why, you know, we are supposed to have experiences. And I think we have angels come to us in many different packages and disguises to help us do our work, to help us see things that we may not have, you know, be aware of. And so I think there's a purpose to the encounters, you know, that we have. And it's for the purpose of learning and growing spiritually, I think.
I agree. I was just thinking, receiving some information. It kind of reminds me of when, and this is not to point at anyone because we know about this, but it's a procedure that would happen as the slave master, the woman would be pregnant. And so a lot of the times that whatever implementation of punishment was being placed upon the man, the woman was close by, even though she might not have been participating in it or was not at fault or whatever that they consider to be at fault. But she would always have to witness. And so what happens is when you have a body and you're seeing something that you've never, ever seen before happen to someone that you know for a fact you're on the perfect vibrational level. You know for a fact that this seed that is inside of you was a planned pregnancy and was supposed to be the heir to whatever. And so in that energy. And so then you have all these other outside elements of evilness that are causing this woman to vibrate at a different frequency, which is carried to the unborn child. And that child now holds that right there. You know, there's a way of getting away from it, and that is just to identify it for what it is. Fear is false evidence appearing real. It's fear. Okay, once I know what fear is, when the young lady was talking about as far as seeing when she closed her eyes in meditation and she would see monsters and things of this nature right here, I mean, every single hieroglyph, as they call it, what I research, has monsters, what they consider to be monsters. But those monsters take on a different meaning when you read exactly why this monster, as they call it, came and et cetera. And we didn't deal with my eyes are showing me what's a monster because a monster didn't exist back then. And so they give us a definition of what a monster looks like so then we can look at our own information, sit back and say, I don't want to have anything to do with that because based upon what I received on a different vibrational level, I have now what's called fear. And so we just need to get back to that and know that when this energy comes to you, it's not going to take on a form in a picture of what you're able to see on your television or anything that you've ever seen on paper. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to concentrate on it and get away from the fear. This was one of the main rituals that the shaman, what they call a shaman, had to do in the Dojan tribe. And they would go away for about, I think it was either 3 or 4 days. Three, I think it was, because 3 seems to be the number that keeps popping up when I research them. But 3 days to purify themselves where they couldn't eat anything, they couldn't bathe anything. All they can do is consume fluids. And so the thing is that when you purify yourself of that fear, now they're going to give you that information. So obviously you are at a point where they were trying to give you some information.
Yes.
Because based upon what it is that you deal with in the physical or the outside where someone has told you what is fear through their vibrational level, through their tone, now you're operating in that level, and that's what we need to get away from. We need to get totally away from that right there because the thing that they tell you in religions is that God is not trying to hide this from you. He's right here. Come and accept him. Come and receive God. And so it's that same principle. You know, the energy, the life form that gave you the energy, or the energy, put it this way, you were energy in another place. And you volunteered, whether you know it or not, you volunteered to come here. And when you came here to this planet and decided and made a choice to put on a physical body, you made a choice. And the Dojans, what they do is they record every bit of history and how it worked out for other men and women and how they were affected by these conquerors. Or that. These are all in what they call the hieroglyphics. All we need to do is read that and see where we fit in it. So then we can know what the next step is going to be. This is the reason why they can tell you that the Bible predicting this and that book is predicting. Why? Because it comes from a source. But the more pure the source is, the more information you're going to get that's going to edify and lift you up to where you need to be and vibrate correctly. But fear, there's never been a such thing as fear.
Well, Mr. why did you say you were energy when you came here? What do you mean by that? Maybe I misunderstood.
Well, when I say use the word were, you always have been energy. And the thing about energy, and I guess it goes back to what we've had last week in discussion where the young man, I believe his name was Joe, when he asked if a woman does this and a woman does that, do you have the right to do this? No, you don't have the right. Why? Because that's her energy. It's not just basically her decision, but it's her energy and the way she wants to use it, whatever way. And so we had that choice at one time, or, well, we still have that choice. But at that particular moment, it's a voluntary process, and this is where majority of what they knew, a lot of the ones that conquered, they knew this, and they implemented in what's called voluntary compliance nowadays, which men and women think is mandatory. And so they flip the script on that. So when you start to realize that there's anything that's causing you fear, even up to date, you can still utilize and go back to what your real true source of power is and operate on a different vibration level or use a different sense. And you can actually stand up and say, well, tell me, where does it say that this is mandatory, that I'm supposed to, well, I'm going to use taxes. Where does it say I'm supposed to pay taxes? And they're going to say, well, it says it's in Title 26. Well, you read Title 26. Okay, excuse me, I read Title 26. It doesn't say that. Now, I'm trying to get out of fear. So the closer I get to what the truth is, the less fear I have because my confidence level and the events that I'm going to be dealing with now are going to change. And so once you know what it is that they put in these books to deceive you and you present them with it, they do the same thing that they've done to me, send an apology letter every before April 15th, and I received every dime I've ever given them, every dime. So you can get your finances back once you know what the truth is and go through the process of disassembling the lies that they put together and those unnecessary vibrational inputs. I've never seen it. I mean, it used to blow my mind. I know what it is now. When a man or a woman would get a piece of mail, and it's, for some reason it seems like black men and women are trained more this way than any others, get a piece of mail that comes to their house that has the IRS at the top or the United States government or food stamps or whatever, and they automatically go into panic mode. They already have that fear that when I see that symbol inside of me, boom, fear is operated. And they deal with that whole situation constantly, over and over again. That's called insanity, doing the same things over and over again, expecting different results, because they tell you already the only thing that's sure in life is death and taxes. So if the only thing that's sure in life is death and taxes, then if you're paying them and you're going to die anyway and it's still going to be there, why pay them?
Right. You said a whole lot, Mr. International.
Yeah.
Oh, and just I left it like that a long time ago, but I'm gonna share this information for those that are listening. You're dealing with what's called administrative code, and this is going to help men and women get out of the fear mode of dealing with a lot of their everyday circumstances. You're dealing with what's called administrative code. If you go into what's called federal administrative code, I believe it's 2072 subsection A, And just read what it states right there before they have the power to implement what's called rules of regulations. Read that first part in subsection A. It applies to you. And when you go and you go into any court or dealing with any situation, if those rules and regulations violate that power that you have, they become void. It is just that simple. But for some reason, scholars and mathematicians, they go through all the calculations of everything and anything about what it is that they've built in the rules and regulations, but it doesn't apply to you. And so there's no need to study any farther. This is what gets a lot of men in trouble when they start saying that I'm not going to pay taxes. Why? Because this is my domestic income, and it's non-taxable. The Constitution said there's only two forms of taxation. One's a direct tax, one's an indirect tax. And what they're giving me is what's called an unapportioned direct tax, which is legal by the Supreme Court decisions. And they go to court and they lose. The reason why they lose is because they're not stating 2072.
No, Mr. National, the reason why they lost is because they went into court. Once you go into court, you entered into their jurisdiction, and in their courts, they're under public policy. They're not under the Constitution.
Right, but at that point in time, when you're talking about this, I'm talking about taxation, you're talking about you have to basically, you're going to go in as a pro se pauper, and if you represent yourself. And so as you do that right there, even if you get a lawyer to represent you in a situation like that, you're still going to have to give jurisdiction to the judge. So what you have to do is you have to reserve your rights, and that way you don't have to do, you can have a judge and to or show jurisdiction over the case, but you have to word your complaints or whatever it is that it does not affect you. And you have to make sure that you're in it, but you're not a part of it. Because remember, this is how we've been gotten. The woman was not a part of, but she was in the presence of. So I'm in the presence in my own personal persona, but I know who I am, and I have reserved all my rights legally with you. And so you have no jurisdiction over me, but I'll give you jurisdiction over the case. And so the difference is just that. And once you know that they can reside and you give them the power to reside over the case, that's all they can deal with.
Well, Mr. International, we're really off the topic, but I would like to No, no problem. Thank you for sharing your information. I would just like to say this in response to what you just said, okay? The only lawful tax court is in D.C. The rest of these courts are under Admiralty Maritime Law, and they are operating the bankruptcy of the United States Corporation. So when you go in one of them, you have offered yourself into their jurisdiction. Now, I understand the distinction between common law and that you can evoke that, but we're also dealing with a lot of corruption. So, we're kind of off topic. So I see some comments in the chat room, and you know, a lot of our listeners or people in the chat room are not familiar with what you're talking about. So, can we kind of, I don't know, you know, wind back around to how we as men and women hear each other differently and or maybe we've already exhausted that. I don't know. What do you think, Mr. International?
Well, I think it's the same. It's just a different level of it, but it's the same, the conversation that we're having. And just to kind of piggyback on what you said, since no one's calling in it, what it is that when you talk about the District of Columbia, I'm just going to say this real quick. When you talk about the District of Columbia, we know that that's what they consider to be the supreme.
Slow down.
Oh, am I talking real fast?
Oh, yes.
Okay. What it is when ancestors start giving me this information that I never studied before, and they tell me about it, I'm trying to get it out there before the phone cuts off.
So I think the audience would probably be more interested in hearing if you didn't feel like you had to just throw it out there so fast.
Okay, that's why I said I apologize early, because I know I was going fast.
I understand where you are. I'm in the same spot a lot of times, but go ahead.
Okay. When you're talking about the District of Columbia, you're talking about, yes, the Supreme Court is there, but what it is that the constitutions of any state.
National, I didn't say anything about the Supreme Court. I said the only lawful tax court is in D.C. I'm not talking about.
That's true. But the thing is, they can delegate.
Lawful. There's a difference between legal and lawful.
Well, I have to do it like this then, because they're not lawful, because they don't abide by the Constitution.
No, only lawful tax court. It's not usually in operation. I said it's located in the District of Columbia. The only lawful tax court is there. So, in other words, if you have an issue with the Internal Revenue Service, who is a third-party debt collector for the Federal Reserve, then if you go to court, if you file a claim against them, now if you're going to go in a court, and you are the what's the opposite of the plaintiff? Because we're not supposed to be in their courts unless we're a plaintiff.
Exactly.
If you are the person that's charged or sued, what's that term? I can't think right now.
Defendant.
The defendant, right. If you go into one of those places as a defendant, thank you, Open Mic, then you are in their jurisdiction under public law and under public policy, excuse me. Now, my statement is that the only lawful tax court is in the District of Columbia. And so if you are not filing as a plaintiff, then you are subject to get an invitation to go into one of their bankruptcy courts pretending to be a court. But they're really operating the bankruptcy.
Right. That's true.
I hope I didn't jumble that up.
No. That's true. That's the reason why I said you have to reserve your rights when you go in. You can operate because the same federal rules and regulations have to apply that the Supreme Court has decided that these are the ones that will be implemented throughout the land. And so when you research the constitutions of the different states and whatnot, they say the same thing that the Supreme Court says, and it doesn't differ very much from the Constitution. And so they have the power to do it, but the thing is, and they have the jurisdiction to do it based upon the Supreme Court. But the problem arises when men and women go to court and they don't reserve their rights or delegate who's going to get jurisdiction over what issues. Okay, one thing is that when I went in and I took the Internal Revenue Service and the Federal Reserve and the Internal Revenue Service and the Treasury Department to court, And
you took the Department of Treasury.
Exactly.
The Treasury closed in 1921.
Exactly. So I took the departments. You're right. I took the departments in. But what I did was, because I utilized also what's called the Uniform Commercial Code in my cases. And so the Uniform Commercial case is a totally different jurisdiction. So this judge had to know what the Uniform Commercial Code is and also know what is Supreme Court law before they could actually handle this. If they can't, then I don't go to the – I won't attend courts in that section. So every state has a Supreme Court, and I'll go to the Supreme Court of this state. And so if they don't want to deal with it, then the next step is to go to the Supreme Court where they have no choice but to deal with it. I haven't had to go that far because once it's put out there, the judges know.
Well, Mr. International, the way I understand it is what's mm-hmm. going on in the, quote, courts is administrative law.
It is.
And we have, according to Rod Class, we have as a plaintiff, because, see, if you get sued by someone, what we don't do is we don't do a counterclaim.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do a counterclaim, the judge has to hear your counterclaim before they can proceed with anything else. That is where you would establish that you're there on a special appearance so that they can't put a joiner upon you and your straw man.
Mm-hmm.
And you are supposed to go to a demand a hearing from whatever corporation is trespassing on you, and if you don't get satisfaction there, then you have a right to demand a administrative hearing with an administrative law judge whose job it is to rule on that issue as a plaintiff, not as a defendant.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Well, in that sense, it would. But when you're making that special appearance, that's why I was stating the Uniform Commercial Code, having those papers allowed into evidence during the first motion.
Yeah. Don't get caught up in the detail because, see, what I want to point out here, you talked about the Supreme Court. But today, mm-hmm. the Supreme Court is part of the corporation. There's the organic. And I tried to explain this the other day, and we're still off topic. I was trying to get off on the – I apologize. But since you brought this up, I would really like to clarify. When I was talking about, there's two separate classifications of national identity and citizenship in this society. It's really not a country. It never has been.
Mm-hmm.
The national identity of those people who are considered, quote, white – under the 1870 law passed, I think it was 1870, that this is a white nation. If they're born in Ohio, that's their nationality because each one of the states was once its own country until they created the federal government, which was only supposed to be over intra-state and international trade and to protect the borders. That's all they were supposed to do. But what they've done, like an octopus, is they've laid their tentacles out over the organic states, and they all became sub-corporations under the mother corporation, which is U.S. Inc. So the infrastructure is still there for the organic states and nationality, but because of the 14th Amendment, there's a certain class of people that were forced to a second-class citizenship. Now, that's also argued in a different way. Some people say that that's not the case, but I'm not white, so I don't see any place where they are talking about me under the national, the explanation of nationality. Whatever state you were born in, it states that that's your nationality. So there's two different classifications. I hope I didn't make that confusing.
Right. I mean, and that's exactly what it is. And that's the reason why, as I was stating earlier, the constitutions of the states, when you enter in what's called citizenship, you've given up your nationality. And so a lot of your power that you had in that state that you had from just being a natural man and a natural woman, or I hate using, I don't really want to use the word, just being a man or woman born, when you're dealing with a corporation, it's just like McDonald's. You go in, you have to wear the McDonald's uniform. You have to get paid by McDonald's. McDonald's can produce whatever it chooses to produce. That's what the United States does. They
You just jumped over a very important distinction.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
As people of African descent, we never had national status here. That was the purpose of the 14th Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, all they did was transfer our ancestors from private ownership to public ownership, which is the Congress. So
mm-hmm.
that's why we fall under the corporation, and those of Anglo-Saxon ancestry fall under the national identification. That's
mm-hmm.
the distinction.
Right. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, they flipped the script on us.
Well, yeah, but I just wanted to be clear on that, because I think a lot of people pass over that, and now we all have inherent rights because we got our rights the same place everybody else, no matter what color they are, got theirs from the Creator who created us. So it's up to us, you know, to either stand up and demand that we get those rights honored here in this society, or decide that we're no longer willing to be a subsection under another group of people who have passed laws to state that this is a white country in 1870.
Mm-hmm. And it hasn't changed since.
They have a black code and a white code.
And it hasn't changed since.
Well, it's not up to them to change. It's up to us to change. It's up to anybody who decides that they are an authentic, organic being that has the same inherent rights that anybody else on this planet has, and if they can't get them recognized where they are, they're prepared to leave and create something of their own. People are getting tired of our political discussion in the chat room. We have a comment. Deep H2O says, how did this conversation go from relationship to law, government and tax? That is quite a stretch. Yes, it is, but, you know, you can only talk about relationships so long. And if anybody wants to come and bring their perspective on relationships, I invite you to call in and give your perspective. We'd love to get back on topic. Is Sister Ottawa still with us? I don't believe she is. I think it's just me and you, Mr. International. How about Sister Antoinette? I don't think she's feeling very well today. She might not feel like talking. Let me check to see if we have anybody else with their hand up. Are you 414, Mr. International?
Yes.
Okay. No, we don't have anybody else with their hand up. It looks like Mr. Talk is not going to be able to get back in to join us. So go ahead and talk about whatever you want to talk about. If they want to get on topic, then they'll have to call in and get us back on topic.
And, I mean, it's all encompassing everything that you're talking about. When you're talking about relationship, in order for you to know anything else, you have to know business. You have to know physics. You have to know mathematics, et cetera. So, I mean, it all boils down to that, to get men and women closer to what it is they need to be dealing with. It's not necessarily the physical relationship that you have. It's a spiritual connection that you make, and know that's a part of an energy source, and there's other divisions of that spirit that you can use and that energy. There's different levels, and they stick with one based upon a religion or a thought process that was given to them to limit their choices. And I mean that's like you stated earlier. I mean they flipped the script on us. They've calling us. They've labeled men and women, and after labeling them, and they told them that this is the definition of it. Then men and women went along with it. But those that know don't fall for it. Hello.
I'm here. Go right ahead.
Yeah,
the
ones that know don't fall. They're not going to fall for it. But the thing is, it's a matter really of just really getting back to our roots and knowing where we truly came from and what we really still to this very day contribute to mankind. And once we start to backtrack our steps, and that's when we get to that point of these false documentation such as the Magna Charta, Constitution, and all these other documentation that are tyranny documentation, and that's what they set out with it for. They set out to bring tyranny to the new worlds, because when you research the investors that actually paid for them to come out, and you know what their motives were, it was to go ahead and implement tyranny. It wasn't to implement freedom. It was to implement contract law and make sure that there's a paper trail so we can preserve our union. And that union does not just start in America, KKK. It starts.
Oh, wait, but Mr. International, what do you mean our union? Our ancestors weren't at the table when the union
No.
was formed.
Oh, that's not what I'm talking. I'm using in their terminology. This is them.
Oh.
I'm speaking on how they worded it to preserve their or perfect union. But that more perfect unit that they considered themselves to be formulating had nothing to do with what was happening on American soil. This was something that went way past England and London, et cetera. This goes all the way back to the Greek times and other times, that this is a process that has been implemented way before that they start putting in these books. This is a process that we have to tear. It's a tentacle of an octopus that we have to snap. We have to cut it, and any other tentacle they want to put on us, detach yourself from it, and I guarantee you. You'll see, you'll be able to focus in on your energy and your and all the 360 senses that have been whittled down to almost really none now, other than sight and hearing. And most men and women don't hear correctly, so they argue with one another. You know, so it's a matter of backtracking.
Well, Mr. National, I agree with what you said, and I think that's because you don't know what you don't know, and I certainly know that I don't know everything and not even close to it. But the point is, the reason why the argument is because we have been conditioned and taught all our lives to believe this system is a certain way. And it's not that way. And those who haven't had the opportunity or have the desire to do as you've done and dig down into the books, the UCC codes, the laws, and so forth and so on, to understand how this system really truly is set up, and then to be able from that to understand their place in it, you see, then there wouldn't be an argument, because, you know, each person has to do their own due diligence. And until they do, then they're always going to argue what they have been taught and what they rightfully think that they, you know about this.
Yeah. And with black men and women, I see that it's mostly in religion. Religion kind of formulates their thought process and causes them to use a certain type of energy that really has, It's like running into a wall over and over again when you use the different religions out here. It stifles. That's why I would tell most men and women when I start researching these different religions and whatnot, to question everything. Question everything that you have that's a question, because there's a lot of things that are said in these books that not only repeat themselves, but when they say certain things happen at a certain time, they don't jive with what's really written, which is 10, 15,000, sometimes 20,000 years older than what's been written. And so this information that they're putting out there is dangerous, and that's when the turning point was. I think they just basically tried to go ahead and formulate something that would be able to control the people more, because it was more of a natural feeling at that time. So a lot of religions had to suppress, and that's why most religions, if not all, went out in the name of war. And they conquered, they killed, and did everything in the name of war. That's what every religion gets its root from, is war. It's a matter of doing homework.
Yes, it is. It's a lot of homework to do, and I think a lot of times people get frustrated. I don't mean to speak for anyone else, but, you know, when you're trying to survive and you, you know, hear people talking about ancient history and so forth and so on, you know, it kind of turns people off, because, you know, there's only so many hours of the day. And I highly recommend for anyone who's interested in really understanding how we have been fooled, to start with Mark Passio, because he breaks it down in layman's terms, and he has a very, very good what do you call those presentations where you have images, what do you call that, Mr. International? PowerPoint. Yes, so it's not just about the laws and the history. Yes, that is extremely important to understand. But I think a person has to have a point of reference. Where do I start? You know, it's too big. When we start throwing out all this stuff about ancient history and the law and this and that and the other, people just glaze over and say, oh, you know, what is this stuff, you know, that they're talking about? I understand what you're talking about. I don't understand all of it, because I don't know all of ancient history, so forth and so on. But, you know, I think we have to start from our present condition and work our way back. I mean, you know, if we wait till everybody goes back to ancient history and bring ourselves up to the day, well, the show will probably be over. You know
well,
what I mean?
That's why I was saying religion, and also a lot of time they're dealing with financial situations. So really all it is when they send you something in the mail, is they're going to have a code on it. It's going to say rule so-and-so says they have the right to do whatever. Just go to the computer and look up that rule and see if it's applicable to you. It's
but
not
that
applicable.
Has to be someone who has the time and the desire to dig down into those legal matters. First, people have to understand who they are in relation to this society. You have to have a point of, I don't know what your point, what caused you to start down that path?
Well, what started me to start down this path, I had a trucking company, and I would go over the road. And so I would hear men and women all talking about they lost their house, et cetera, because of the income, they're paying the income tax, the IRS took it, et cetera. So I said, I'm going to research this, because a lot of men, when you're driving trucks, et cetera, and women, you don't have the time. You don't have any time really whatsoever. So about an hour before I would go to sleep after driving 10 hours to 11 hours per day, I would make sure that I spent at least an hour researching that topic, which was causing a lot of men and women to lose their houses, et cetera. And so as I started to research it more and more and gather more information, I started paying for out of my pocket to print up information at truck stops and hand it out. And that's where I got the name Mr. International. And so a lot of the information that I gave out, a lot of the men and women have been very successful. And that right there, just being able to help, that was my starting point. And I think that a lot of men and women, when they realize, as the young lady said at the genesis of the show, she said it's about helping others. And that's what that energy is meant for. But the energy has been distorted and it's tearing down. And so it's just a matter of making little sacrifices. If you can make a sacrifice an hour a day, 30 minutes to study a topic, then what it's going to do is it's going to feed you. And it's like a little baby. You're not supposed to go out there and try to digest everything right away. You take babies. You eat it in a diluted form. Put a little water with it, whatever it takes for you to digest it, and it holds on to you and it nourishes you. So it's just a matter of whatever is interesting to you that hinders and hurts a group of people or any people. I mean, that should be your passion, to go forward to that.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I agree with you, but I think each individual has to have the desire to
right.
do that, and then the passion to know more builds from there. Now, I'm going to get back on topic because it's not fair to the audience, okay? I appreciate everything you're sharing, and I would like to, you know, are you in the chat room?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Well, I would like to, you know, get into this more when we have this as a topic, but I want to try to get back on the topic of relationships. I said that a half hour ago, but I'm going to do my best. I was looking at, I'm probably getting ready to open up Pandora's box now. I was looking at a YouTube channel where a Caucasian or Anglo has a he's a life coach, and I thought it was very interesting that he's telling his audience that males should only be doing 20 to 30% of the calling when they're interested in a female, and that if that female tries to put them in a friend zone, that they shouldn't have any contact with them at all until that that woman, because female is an animal, that woman decides whether she's interested in expanding the classification that she has put for them. Now, I want to contrast that with what black men's idea of dating and how that process should go. And since you're a black man, I won't speak for black men. I want to let you speak on that. How do you see that? Do you think males should do all the calling, or how do you feel about that in today's world?
Well, I mean, it's a choice. If that's a choice you want to make to do, I mean, do it. I mean, you can be upfront, let a person know, hey, I find you very interesting, et cetera, and I'm going to call you. And I may not reach you a certain time, whatever the case may be, but I'm going to call you again, and because I think you're very interesting, I'd like to know more about you and know what your energy level is, et cetera, whatever it is that you have a curiosity about. And you discover whatever it is that you want out of that person. And if they respond and they give you what you need to show you that they can be compatible with you, then it's not a decision of harshness. It's not a decision of based on emotion. It's just a decision made on edifying that oneself. And they have a right to do that, and vice versa. There's no such thing as a woman that is desperate when she calls a man because she sees things in this man before this man recognizes them. So most men are dealing with physical attraction, and they go after that woman that they feel as though is a sexy this and that. But, you know, then they get to learn who she is later on after making that one first phone call. So, I mean, it goes both ways.
Okay. Well, thank you for that feedback. So, in contrasting what I shared about the approach from the Anglo-Saxon side, do you, as a whole, not from an individual perspective, I know you just gave me yours, and I thank you for that, but in general, do you think that there's a different approach in our culture overall? I mean, you know more men than I do probably, so what do you think?
Well, I mean, in this culture, the culture that we received, I mean, most men are going to see it from a white male-dominated perspective, and they're going to go and approach that situation with that. It's not that I'm really trying to build up a relationship per se. When I go ahead and conversate, that's what the man might say, but it's based upon what they consider to be game and what has formed them to even get to that point to present conversation to that woman. And with that mind state, I see that most men have that right. They're not saying that all. But most men have that where it's a Caucasian principle to actually see something, and when you see it, have that mentality to grab it by the hair and bring it back into your cave.
Oh, my. Okay. And so you're saying, I'm giving you feedback. I'm just reflecting back what you said to make sure I understand you. Are you saying that, in your view, that the most males of African descent or quote, black males, however they identify themselves, because I respect how other people choose to identify themselves, gravitate to the same approach that dominant society does in its relation to interacting with the opposite gender. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's correct. That's correct. And when men and women do that right there, what you're doing is you're getting away from as natural of behavior as has ever been. And that's the reason why I state that most men and women, they need to find out who they are and what their energy is. Because when you approach a situation like that based on habitual behavior from what you've seen and what you've been taught and the tones and the signals that have changed you from what it was that you were supposed to approach this manner in, when you get away from that, you're going to have the same results. You're going to have the same thoughts.
Thank you for that feedback, Mr. International. I've opened the line. I'm not sure who we have here. Is this Michael? Well, he's not saying anything, whoever it is, he or she. So I'm just going to leave the mic open unless we get some noise, and I'll close it back down. So it's just you and I. So I really appreciate the dialogue, and so do you have any other insights into the dynamic of relating between the genders? Have you discovered that in, you talk a lot about ancient African history and so forth. I was married to a Senegalese, and I discovered that in his language, which was Wolof, that they don't have a distinct word to differentiate the male and the female, or not male, female, woman and man gender. He had a lot of difficulty in learning English as a second language in that part of his speech. Have you run across that in your studies?
That goes back to the Dogons. When the Dogons, they don't have a word for male and female like that in the beginning. They don't have that word. It's about energy. This is basically what we call the female energy, and this is the male energy. And they have certain characteristics that the Dogons knew represented the size of the brain. And so it was more about chemistry. It was more about physics. It wasn't about labeling the physical body. The physical body didn't matter. It didn't matter because nowadays we have to go ahead and have the woman with the long hair on and the makeup on and all this kind of stuff right here. So that's that physical attraction. But back then, you talking about
Tony?
Hello.
Yes, Michael, I opened your line.
Okay. I'm sorry, I was away from the
Michael,
phone. Going. I'm sorry.
Michael,
I'm sorry.
Mr. International, finish his point. Welcome to the conversation. I'm sorry you were frustrated. I they had too many 111s, and I'm by myself, so I couldn't go up and down the line trying to figure out who was who while I was having the conversation because it's just me and Mr. International. Would you allow him to finish his thought and then join the conversation, please?
No problem.
Thank you, Michael. Go ahead, Mr. International.
So the thing is that if there's no word to describe something, then back then when they in the Bible it says that God spoke and he said, let him be man, let him be woman, etc. But those are English words and etc. So back then we dealt with what's called symbols. And the symbols, there were no symbols, there were no words to describe male and female. It was all about energy. And that's as far as it goes. But as we go on, then we have come up with these different genders and titles and names. Some good, some say we say it's bad, but that's where we're at.
Well, thank you for that feedback. And Michael, you got the floor.
Well, how you doing? Wonderful. Good, great conversation you guys having. But you got to realize in ancient times, our ancient ancestors, they didn't know everything. We know some things that they didn't know. I'm quite sure they know some things that we now today still have a puzzle and can't figure out. But when we're talking about men and women, I heard someone today, she was saying, well, you know, it was the age for the male to rule the world. Now it's flipping around and now the female side is going to rule. Still the problem of the world. Why is men and women talking about who's on top? I heard someone talking about the lion and the lioness. None is higher. You look at anybody, any scientist that will look at the lion and the lioness and says the lion rules and the lioness, she doesn't rule, and vice versa, they're crazy. Both the lion and the lioness need each other. Just look at nature. I'm looking at baboons. One baboon, he was a leader, and someone was coming to take over his clan. Well, he had to fight. Well, while he was fighting, he fell off the tree, broke his leg. Now the baboon, he had a daughter. The mother had died. That male baboon had to take care of that female baboon, raise her for 2 years. Of course, he didn't breastfeed, but get along. See, in nature, things happen crazy in nature if you were to look at it. They have their own society. Someone tried to tell me that nature doesn't have their own society, their own communities. They're not worrying about us. Now, so what I'm trying to say here before I get on the tangent is that we have to have balance. And what I hear from all the philosophies, they're not looking at balance. Men and women need each other. No one is higher. Ever since I'm a little boy growing up to now, I always see men says, oh, you better take the man's side if you're a man. You better take the woman's side if you're a woman. And we're still tug-of-warring. Men and women need each other. No, none is stronger than the other. How can you even fathom a man without a woman? How can you fathom a woman without a man? You cannot do it.
Well, Michael,
can't
I think
do
you...
It. It's just that simple. Now, if we keep that balance, that's balance. That's a fact. But once we get into the theory realm of who came first or describing all this, this is where we come the quote-unquote ego. And sometimes, we have to have a balance where you think of self and people at the same exact time. And that's what we must reach for. Because,
Michael,
I think you brought up a very good point. But that's it.
You mentioned the patriarchy during the time of the patriarchy, and prior to that it was the matriarchy. So do you think it's possible that we're going through a period of time where we are perhaps being pushed to bring this back into balance so that there's not this male dominance or hierarchical system?
Well, yes, I do. Well, I can say that. And I may have caught you, well, you may have caught me in my contradiction, because I may say this is a phase and everything is a process. Each event, I heard y'all was talking about events and things, but every process has the events. And maybe if we start educating ourselves along, looking at the factual information, yes, maybe we'd be going to that. But what are the things that's blocking us? Theology? Things that that confuses us, things that divide us. Remember, balance is compromise. Division, the scale was unbalanced. See, but see, it's a lot of concepts that I was raised on. I'm just learning a couple of years from now that I'm starting to question the Goni. That's all I try to do. But my goal is, all of our goal is still the same. But we're trying to get there, right? Because all of us want, you know, don't be chaos, what have you. But I'm just questioning some things. But what's stopping that Negoni, that balance, is what we have.
Well, I think that's very. I certainly don't like to live in chaos. I like peace, and not to say that I'm always peaceful, but I prefer to be. But Mr. International, since you study so much in ancient history and so forth, what do you have to say about the state of the man and woman back in antiquity? I mean, what comes to my mind is those big statues there in front of the Pyramid of Giza with the, you know, the man and the woman sitting there together.
Right, and that's what it is. But there's a lot that men and women have to realize that when you look at those statues also, the woman's majority of time is standing behind the man, but that doesn't necessarily mean that she's a weaker species. It just means that and usually in the pictures, they have their left, the man has a left foot forward, the woman has a right foot forward. These symbols mean a lot. And so when he said earlier that it's a lot of things that the ancestors did not know that maybe we have found out today and vice versa, that's not true, because it's not based upon fact. That is based upon theology. That thought process is based upon theology, which means then that we're not going to try to discover, is there an answer to the question that I have? And it's more or less that right there is what gets us in trouble when you start dealing with religions, et cetera, because then we're looking for theologies to explain our limited amount of information that we have. And so it's going back and seeing things for truly what they are. And then men and women will realize that what's happening right now it's been foretold already, because it's not the first time it's happened. It's a cycle. It happens like that, but it's a cycle. But you have to know that when this cycle takes place, where you should be, what your energy level should be, et cetera, and prepare yourself for the next cycle change so you can go to a higher vibrational level, so you can understand more of what it is that your eyes are taking in and also bringing into your pineal gland and connecting with your pineal, so that you can either vibrate at a higher level or you can vibrate at a lower, but that's a little bit more on the metaphysical. But that's really where we need to be. We need to get back to the metaphysical situations that we dealt with back then, and the metaphysical situations we're dealing with now, which is proper representation and misrepresentation. And that's where the balance is. When you know that what it is that you know, there is no balance or unevenness of the scale.
Well, you see, when Negoni, you have to watch out. See, what I'm talking about is, I'm talking about the pre-dynastic period, where men and women was no, there's no monarchy. There's no family higher than the other. Now, we may give positions, but I'm talking about that dynastic period. I'm sorry, they foo-hoo. They got the symbols saying that these symbols represent certain things. You're going to go in, and I'm sorry, that's where religion, the monarchy, the theology started from ancient Egypt. When you say one person is higher than us, this family is higher than us, this family has power, and this is so second, someone, mankind has made that. Look where the mind changed. Something happened because it was a pre, but there was something before that. No one had higher. No one was higher. It wasn't no structure like that. You see what I'm saying? So as that developed, you know, you had to become priesthood. And then it was male chauvinist creeping back then, because when you be a priest, you had to be 7 years old and had to go to school for 40 years to become a priest. You couldn't be a female to do it. You had to be a male.
Well,
I'm from a pre-dynastic.
Well, you're talking about the Nyx period. And when you talk about the Nyx, you have to talk about what are called Egyptologists. And those are men and women that have basically been trained to they're trained and they're funded by the Vatican Church. And these Egyptologists, when they go out, their main reason for going out is to misrepresent what it is that they're finding in Africa, on the continent of Africa. And so when you have people that are designed, trained to go out and attack this information and make sure that it doesn't come out correctly, then you're going to have those ones that you're talking about around 325 BC, or you're talking about roughly about 1015 AD, where you're dealing with the formulation of religions and the councils of Nicaea. And that's when it starts to take on that ugly turn, when what it means on the walls itself has been given to us in a diluted form. So that's when you're talking about the religions, the Greeks, and all this kind of stuff right here. But what I'm talking about goes back much earlier. And so when you get to the purest form of what it is that you want to nourish you, then you When you talk about the Dionysus period, you're talking about basically in our 7th dynasty, we were doing this. In our 8th dynasty, we were doing that. The thing is that dynasties didn't apply to us. It didn't apply. We were just here. When you can put it this way, in order
to... So you're talking about pre-Dionysic, correct? Right. That's another question. You're saying pre-Dionysic then, right?
Well, there's no such thing. That's what I'm trying to say is that there's no such thing as pre-Dionysic. You know, when you can't record how old a people are, you can't say that this is pre-dynastic, just like you can't say that this is legally and realistically and naturally 2014.
So you're saying factually families ruled people. Who made that order up, Wes, though? If I'm born in this family, these millions of people have to worship this king or this monarchy. Who made that structure up, sir?
You're talking about information that's being brought into these areas right here, where there was a collage of different tribes and whatnot. And it's just like religion today. One person can bring it in, and we're going to use Jesus for this instance. Jesus brings the information in. He is a truth. He is a light. So then all of a sudden, when the people get that information, they branch off, and as they branch off, it becomes diluted. And that's exactly what happened here. The information in its purest form are still on the walls with the Dogons. But the thing is that when it gets up here, then whenever you start labeling anything, a woman, a man, a time, whatever it is you put a label on, you've just given it that definition. You've just went ahead and stated in your mind that that's what it's going to be. This is a television.
You control it.
It's going to be a television.
Anything that you label, you control. Anything, this is another fact. Anything that man labels, he controls. That's a fact.
So when they controlled the dynastic period, they called it the dynastic period.
Okay, gentlemen, let me jump in here for a minute, because I think...
I don't understand what he's separating from Nagoni.
Excuse me, Michael. I think
it's
what Michael is referring to is a time on the earth when men and women didn't have a hierarchical structure. Now, of course, they had functions. Women, performed certain functions. They went out looking for roots and food and where the water was. The men... I think that's what you're talking about, Michael. Am I correct?
Exactly. No religion was involved, right, because Nagoni, when they separate anything in time, it's an event. You remember what you're talking about? And I understand that our minds can't go back for so far, Nagoni, but we're talking about an event. And when they separate that event, he's saying that there was no such thing. Something happened when someone says, hold up, we're going to rule. This family going to be like this. We're going to have a structure. And I'm saying it's a time period. Now, he can't say that happened because nature is not like that. Somebody had a thought of this, Nagoni.
Well, right.
A man's mind.
What happens
that scale to say that their family is higher and stuff? That's crazy. It goes against nature, Nagoni. You say it every day. It goes against nature.
When you deal with it,
as I understand it, is we went from a matriarchal society to a patriarchal society, where men decided that they wanted to own things, and so they had to wipe away the matriarchal society where really men didn't know whose baby was whose baby, okay? Because they had, they worshipped Astarte, they had love fest and whatever you want to call them, rituals and so forth and so on. So it was because they wanted to own things that we went from that time period and a different structure, and now we're moving back away from that. Is you either of you disagree with that or?
I agree with you.
No,
I agree with him also.
Right.
And the problem
well,
is
say there was a period where men and women there was no hierarchy. Everything was on a leaving path. Just like you just said, everybody did their things. It wasn't no idea of something is higher. This symbol is higher, things of that nature. They had to fiddle out and learn about nature. Because
but
you got to realize, once people learned about nature, go ahead.
Men and women did have different functions in their societies. And also
right.
in some cultures, if a woman, if her mate expired or died, and she was left with children, in their society, it was the duty of the brother to take the woman and her children in be
provider.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, I think we can get hung up on what was and so forth and so on. I mean, we need to.
Well,
I think,
no, that's not. No, no. We're telling them the concept that man is first. Women is higher. We have to challenge these concepts. You have somebody, this is the Mother Earth. Women came before man. Man became for we. I'm challenging those theologies. You know what I'm talking about, Nagoni. And that concept is one that's higher
you.
Than each other.
I'm agreeing with you.
The time in history that this thing got flip-flopped is around the time when the first Caucasian king took the throne. His name is Ptolemy Sotiramarinum. And this specific king right here was the one that brought a lot of the information from the Roman church, and it was a black bishop that actually initiated him into this priesthood. And so the thing is that they took Africans also to train them to do certain things because they knew the ways of the ancestors, as we can call them. They knew the ways based upon those black men and black women that were brought to the Vatican, brought in there and taught the ways of Caucasian and then brought back under Bishop, as they call him, Ptolemy Sotiramarinum. And so at that point in time, then you have a change where the stories have changed, where it's not about these men and women building these in honor of, because these men and women were our, they were the closest ones to practicing their full senses and things of this nature, and they honored them for their pure being so pure and natural. And so they were honored. And then when you get it under Ptolemy Sotiramarinum, then you have a period in time where all the information changes. So if that helps you out, I mean, you can start with Ptolemy Sotiramarinum, and he'll show you how he created what's called the Hellenesian period, where the word hell comes from, and what the principle under Alexander the Barbarian, as I call him, when he actually came into Egypt also, and what he did. Hello?
Hello, may I ask you guys something? Did she hang up?
Had myself on mute. I was speaking to you, but I was on mute. I was asking you, but you didn't hear what Mr. International said, did you?
No, I didn't. Repeat.
Mr. International, are you still there? Now it looks like he's gone.
I was going to ask him, did he think, well, I was going to ask him something.
Maybe he lost his connection. That happens to me a lot of times. If I don't remember to call back in at a certain time.
Well, you guys were talking about the spirit. That haven't even been described, because when we talk about the spirit, when people talk about spirituality, that spirituality has principles with it, I guess. in order to be spiritual, you must do certain things or you must do certain patterns to become spiritual. It's like it becomes like another religion. They say spirituality is not a religion, but it has principles behind it. But do you think certain things in nature, far as seeing someone actually, you know, taking someone's life or someone stealing something from you, do you think certain things like that, do you think that's just a natural reaction where we're going to feel when those things happen, we're going to feel a certain way, we know it's not right, and all of us, everyone in the world can relate to that, so it's factually that we try to prevent that, even though we may sometimes afflict that on another person. Isn't that a part of what nature is? When, you know, because I was talking to some educators today, and they were talking about having religion in the education. I said, well, what are you talking about? I mean, when we're talking about, and then they were talking about with the Bible, and I brought up ancient Egypt, how murder was against the law way before certain biblical, but I'm just saying when babies, you take a block, when two babies are together, one baby takes a block from another baby, the other baby maybe start crying. You know what I mean? It's a natural thing for someone to take it with, and we try to avoid that. Is that just a fact, or is it something higher upon that? Is it something more? Because you guys were talking about, remember, when people talk about the microscopic level, we can look at them in a microscope, but certain things on a microscope is theory. When we look out of space, and we can just look through the telescopes, we can look and see what it does, but it's still theory. But here on Earth, where we all can look at each other and measure and go into the laboratories and get chemists going to make steel and take different chemicals, that's a more of a factual interpretation. So a lot of people don't stay here on Earth a lot. They want to go out in those two realms. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's get theory and gets confusing. So here, why can't we just see that something just may be a part of nature?
Well,
just look at the way it is.
You've covered a lot of territory, and I want to thank you
for
your
input. I know.
Your question rhetorical, and we're getting down to 5:25,
okay.
I want to thank everybody for their patience, and sorry again that we had the technical issues again today, and thanks everybody for who called in, and thanks for everybody being in the chat room. I want to answer you, Michael, by saying I don't really know the answer to your question because it was a very complex and broad question. I think there's something called natural laws, and I think that's a good place for anyone who's interested. I think Mark Passio does a real good job of teaching about natural laws. So maybe that's someplace we can all start from, and hopefully tomorrow, I don't know what Mr. Talk is going to have as a topic.